The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
Hi, I'm Derek Story with Inside Aperture, and I'm here with two terrific photographers, Rob Truman and Kathy Chung. How are you doing, Kathy?
I'm doing excellent.
Fantastic. This is a fantastic show and a great opportunity to talk to you and get the word out.
So here's what we're going to talk about today. Both Rob and Kathy participated in the Aperture Nature Photography Workshop. I should also mention that both of you had basically competition-winning shots that came out of this, and you guys got to those shots in different ways. So let's talk a little bit about how, you know, you kind of vetted the shot that you ended up doing, and tell us a little bit about the workshop itself. We'll start with you, Rob.
Great. Yeah, I found out about the workshop through the Twit Photo website and podcast. I listened to that weekly, and they Scott Bourne, who runs that website and show, basically told us about the Aperture Nature Photography Workshop. So I went over and took a look at the rules and regulations and said, hey, I might as well enter one of my photographs here. So I'd been doing some stock photography uploads to some sites, and I don't have a lot that's out there, but the one site that I was using, one image really stood out. And while that image wasn't my personal favorite, it seemed like it was selling more than anything else combined. It happened to be a picture of Oxbow Bend from the Grand Tetons, and this trip was to the Grand Tetons to shoot with four professionals and four amateurs to go out shoot in the Grand Tetons and learn about aperture. So I said, well, what a great photograph to enter. It's Oxbow Bend in the Grand Tetons, so that's what I'm going to enter. And I was blown away to find that that I was one of the finalists or one of the winners of the contest and had the opportunity to go on this incredible workshop.
This is interesting to me because a lot of times photographers aren't always the best judge of their work in terms of mass appeal. Now, I do think photographers are the best judge of their work in terms of, you know, what they're trying to communicate. But we have a hard time telling what's going to be the most popular photograph. So by, you know, sort of vetting your work in stock photography, in that case, the formula sort of proved true, didn't it?
Yeah, it certainly did. And you know, not being a pro myself and trying to find myself in photography and how I'm going to hopefully make some money to support the habit, you know, I was just experimenting with stock. This image really stood out. But I'm told all the time that some of the things that I pick out as my best work aren't, and people do appreciate other things. And that's what you have to keep in mind. And don't ever take offense at it, too, because it can get personal. So.
Exactly. Now, Kathy, your process was a little bit different. So that's kind of cool. We sort of have two different paths here. So tell us a little bit about, you know, the process for you and your initial impressions of the workshop.
For me, I found out about the contest right after I bought my iMac. I had been putting it off, put my purchase on hold many, many times, bought my iMac, loaded it up, was using Safari as my internet browser, and that glorious Apple page comes up and tells me about the world of Apple every day. And there's this little blurb about the Aperture Nature Photography Workshop. And I did a little bit of reading about it, and I said, this sounds interesting. And you got to enter one photo. And that was hard, because there was a photo that I liked, and there was the one that I polled people on. And I did a poll of my work, and I said, which do you like the best? And everybody liked one photo, and I liked the other. And it was hard for me to say, do I go with the one I like as the photographer, or do I go with the one that had mass appeal? And I had this feeling that for the contest and the feeling that I was getting on the information I gathered from the contest, that the photo I liked was the one I should enter. And boy, am I glad I went with that one, because it's the image I won with. And the one thing I could say to photographers who are, you know, out there is to enter these contests, because I enter and I had never won until that one, and it was an amazing experience for me.
So are you a working photographer, or are you the passionate amateur, or somewhere in between there?
Somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be a working photographer. I do work. A lot of it times it's for free to build my portfolio, and I'm trying to find that balance of how to shoot for pleasure and shoot for profit, and I'm trying to grow that part of my career.
you have a lot of company these days because it's hard to be a full-time shooter. I mean, one of the things that I talk about even with established photographers when we're just hanging out is, you know, having different revenue streams and things like that, so that, you know, you're going to have some good months with straight photography, but then you need something, you know, on the other months too. I want to talk a little bit about the workshop experience, because I'm a big fan of workshop experience where you get to shoot and also do the computer side of things. And so I want to start with you, Rob, because you were saying that it was a formula that worked really well for you.
You know, when I went to the workshop, I had very little experience. Actually, I was restarting my experience with Apple. Only a couple months previous to that, I, on a whim, decided I was going to buy an iMac and get back into the world of Apple. I'm actually, hopefully don't raise too many hackles with this, I've been a big fan of the Microsoft products for a long time. And having an engineering background, I came up with, for me, on a Windows platform, what was a really good workflow. So when I started first playing with Aperture, it really changed the way I thought about my workflow. So getting back to the whole experience in the Tetons, what really made it for me was we'd get up before sunrise, you know, get out, do your sunrise shots, do your early morning shots with four pros who really helped you think differently about the way you were shooting. Then we came back for some classroom. Now, you know, the killer about that is you probably didn't sleep a whole lot the night before. You were up at daybreak to shoot, and then, you know, you're going to be in a whole day class learning about computer stuff in a dim room. Well, credit to Martin who taught the class, but I mean, we were all extremely into everything he had to say and learning about this Aperture product. And what I guess what really made it was we were using our pictures from that morning or the night before on subsequent days, and we were able to load our images up onto a bunch of MacBook Pros that they had brought in, and, you know, really get firsthand experience with Aperture with our photos from that day. And that really showed me how powerful the workflow experience with Aperture really was.
The thing I like about that scenario is that you sort of get to see a best practices way to work from the get-go, where a lot of times when you're at home trying to figure stuff out, you do more trial and error kind of thing. Was this similar for you, Kathy?
Absolutely. For me, getting up at sunrise and taking those shots when the sun was hitting the mountain or hitting the Mormon Row barns in the Tetons was beautiful. And I was thinking to myself, okay, great. I'm taking these photos and then I'm going to get home and life is going to take over. And when am I going to edit these photos? Because I am a mom. So life does take over. Being able to go to a workshop, shoot in the morning, go to class in the afternoon, and be able to upload my photos and edit them, I was able to leave the workshop with images that I had already produced on the computer and show them on my blog or show them to my clients and present them and hopefully be able to use them as soon as I got back. And for me, that was the ultimate test of Aperture. Not only was I learning how to use Aperture, I was testing its abilities right then and there with my work, not these amazing photographers that Apple hires to come in and shoot these beautifully staged photos that they overexpose in one and underexpose in another, and then we tweak them here and there. These are my photos, and I'm not a professional. And yeah, sometimes I don't take the best photo, and I could see the actual amazing process of Aperture and what I can do with it. And that was phenomenal to me.
I really like that because, you know, a lot of times when we talk about Aperture, we're talking to professionals and saying, you know, you can be more efficient in your work by using, you know, this tool. But the point that you're bringing up is a great one. You know, a lot of us, even when we're just passionate photographers, you're both a working pro and a passionate photographer, but even if you're just a passionate photographer, we're busy. I mean, the rest of our life is busy, and we don't maybe have as much time to process our shots. And by not having as much time, maybe a lot of great work never gets off our computer because we don't have time to get to it. And so it's a good point that, you know, it's just busy is good for busy people also.
Absolutely. And one of the great things that Martin pointed out with Aperture was the star rating system. You could quickly go through your photos before adjusting them, and you could see if you even liked a photo and give it one star so that you weren't going to sit there through the, say, for me, 1,200 photos that I took on the three mornings and three evenings that we shot, and I wasn't going to have to sit there and go one by one, which is what I had to do in the past. I was able to load all my thumbnails up, and I could just go boom, 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 one star, two stars, no stars. And then from there, I could create an album and edit from there and make my adjustments from there. And that has been a huge time saver. One thing I did with Apture when I got back is I had a session that I shot right before I left of a newborn baby. And I was trying to work on it on the plane ride out, and I wasn't getting very far, also because I was sleepy, but I wasn't getting very far. And the client really wanted the pictures because they needed to get their announcements out. As soon as I got home, I was able to adjust the photos and upload them to my website for the client to proof them within 2 hours. That's how fast Apture is for me. My production time is way down.
You know, one thing that a lot of people like with the Apture workflow is that if you're a Mobile Me member, we used to say .Mac, but if you're a Mobile Me member, then you have that gallery function that you can shoot it right up to, and you can control what they can download. They can either download a low res, high res, or the master.
I'm loving the Mobile Me option in Apture. That's exactly what I did with that newborn session. Mm-hmm. The controls of exactly how they can download it, you can password protect it, or you can make it so they can download nothing. And I really, really think that it's great that you can do that.
It's the thing that people ask me about a lot when they're thinking about Apture. So now, Rob, I want to get back to you. So you came over from a Windows workflow. You're feeling pretty okay about it. So, you know, a lot of times when people come over to Apture from Windows, it's because they're unhappy with their Windows workflow. So this is a different scenario where you came over and you were actually pretty okay with how things were going. So what was it about Apture that you know, made you stick with it?
You know, and I go back to my engineering background, okay? So I spent many years working on workflow and finding the best programs that do cataloging, the actual post-production, developing. I was using, I think, 4 or 5 different programs under Windows, all very good applications that did one thing very well. And like I said, I spent a lot of time making this work for me, and I did like it. After this whole Apture experience, I find that all the pieces are right there in Apture. I mean, the imports, the assigning of keywords and IPTC data, it's all right there, the rating system, and then, you know, the post-processing work is there too. And there's the one thing that I can't quantify, but pictures to me just look better when they're developed in Apture. And, you know, I shoot with Nikon, and I use a lot of the Nikon software, and, you know, what I read and I would tend to agree is that the Nikon RAW converter probably does the best job of converting RAW. Makes sense, right? Nikon to Nikon software. But when I imported my RAW files into Apture, whatever Apature's doing in the back end, I was already part of the way there to processing my files, because to me they just look better. And going back to what Kathy was saying, you know, I find myself now being able to go back, because my workflow is so much more streamlined, I'm going back and rediscovering all these pictures, right? Because I have 35,000 pictures that I've taken over a long period of time that I can now go back through. And, you know, my previous workflow, I really look through 100, 200 images, whatever I shot for a day or so, and pick out one or two that I liked. Now I can go back and really look through all of them quickly, and I'm finding a lot of pictures from years past that I never knew I had, which is really cool. I mean, just rediscovering your own work because you have a better workflow is really powerful. Again, for me, it's all about, you know, the speed I'm able to produce these files. And the Mobile Me galleries, as Kathy said previously, I mean, it just works. You throw a bunch of things into a folder. It turns out that folder, then you can click on it and send it right up to your Mobile Me account. And your clients can look, download or not download, download specific versions of the file. Very powerful stuff. And it's made me more professional in my workflow.
How were you just converting over to the Mac platform itself? Was that a difficult conversion for you?
No. Yes. Well, yes and no. You know, I initially got into the Macintosh back in '84 when it first came out, and I loved it. I mean, I was the guy with the Apple T-shirts. When I went into the workforce, I had to have a Mac on my desk while everybody else was using IBMs. And the reality for me as a developer, growing up a developer and then in the IT world, is that people use the Windows environment. I made the switch, and I basically considered computers to be tools that you use. So recently I purchased one of the 3G iPhones and really fell in love with that product. And again, being a developer at heart, I said, wouldn't it be great to be able to play with some software, writing some software for the iPhone? So I went out and I purchased a 20-inch iMac. Wanted to stay, you know, inexpensive because I figured I wasn't going to use the machine for much. That was 4 months ago, and I actually have converted everything from, you know, from pictures and processing images to word processing, email. Everything is now on my Macintosh. And while I still enjoy using Vista from time to time, probably one of the few, I'm a Mac guy again. And you know what? It's weird because, you know, you hear how people fall in love with their Macs. And again, I'm thinking this is just a tool, right? But it's not. There's something different about it. There's something different about the experience. And I love it.
I totally agree with that, too, I have to tell you. You know, I just have one more question before we wrap up. And, you know, one of the things that I talk about in my workshops and so forth is that as you begin to understand the tools that you have in Aputure to process with, is that going back now and are you plugging that into how you shoot, knowing that, you know, I can do this or that in Aputure later on?
Yes, I have definitely changed the way I shoot a little bit. I am looking at things a little differently, saying, okay, that lighting might not be exactly the way I want it, but in Aputure, I can change the black point a little bit. I can adjust the exposure. I can adjust the temp. It's amazing what it has done for me because I live in Florida, so I have a sunny day every day. And so a lot of the times I have very hot images just because, you know, if I'm shooting at the beach, my beach is white sand. So no matter what I do, I can't really control that sometimes. And the unbelievable how I can then take those images and just tone down the sand and have an amazing image because I get that beautiful glow on the face.
So you've made friends with the recovery slider then.
I love the recovery slider. The recovery slider is my best friend.
Yeah. We should put that on the recovery. Photographers in Florida will love this tool.
Yes, absolutely.
How about you, Rob? Has Aputure sort of influenced your shooting at all?
You know, it's funny because I'm completely on board with the everything that Kathy was saying. So photographers in Pennsylvania also love the recovery slider. You know, the challenge with digital cameras is dynamic range oftentimes, right? Because you have a blown out sky or an overcast sky, you still want to take a picture. And I do find that with the Aputure product, instead of trying things, you know, more difficult things like, oh, well, I'll shoot an HDR of this because I want to be able to get some of the sky in a little bit better, that, you know, the recovery slider works a lot. So while I'm still very conscious of highlights and blown highlights, if there's a little bit of it, I know that I can get that back in Aputure. And so I learned the hard way through printing that a blown highlight is pretty much the kiss of death. When you print something out and there's missing ink, but with Aputure, I'm able to recover a lot of that stuff, bring my exposure down, move the black points around it, and still get just beautiful images that, you know, previously I couldn't recover as easily.
Absolutely. And also there is a highlights and shadows bar as well. And so sometimes even if I just want to adjust the recovery slider a little bit, I can then adjust the highlights slider. And it's unbelievable just a subtle change can make an okay image a great image.
Yeah, I find myself using those two in tandem a lot too. And I can't even explain to you exactly, you know, the different algorithm that's between the two, but I know that they have a little different feel.
Yes, absolutely. Sometimes I just to experiment, yeah. I will bring one down and the other up.
Yeah.
And I just play with it just to see what is going to happen, because that's the one thing that I'm really trying to do a lot more of, is to play with all the sliders so I know exactly what I can do with each of them and my strengths and weaknesses with each of them, so I know what kind of an image I can make.
The other thing that I'm really anxious to use is the book feature. I have two small children, and my 5-year-old daughter is really into printing images and putting them in a scrapbook. You know, I want to be able to capture these memories for them, and I don't do enough printing as I should be. I do print quite often, but I also take a lot of pictures. And if I can take some of these images, put them into a book, lay them out for my kids. So we recently took a trip to Florida, which I have a lot of images from, and we could print them out and put them in a traditional scrapbook. Or I can go back and use this book feature and print a really nice soft or hardbound book. And, you know, give it to the kids for something to remember. I know a nice thing that my mother did throughout my life was make these scrapbooks. And, you know, when you get older and you have kids of your own and you can look at some of these memories, it's very powerful. And I think using this book feature in Aputure is going to be a big thing for me going forward.
I think it's one of the things that really separate it from the other applications. And not only do you have the connectivity with the, you know, the online, the print-on-demand lab to print, but you can also output the PDF and print on your own paper, too.
Absolutely. You can also, with the book feature, feature which we were shown at the workshop. You can use the templates and just design, say, a business card or just a 5x7 card to hand out to clients just to create a buzz about your images or if you're having a show at a gallery. So you don't have to go take it to be printed at some printer. You can print it at home or you can just find a cheap printing place, but you can design it using the book software. It's very versatile, the book software.
Yeah, it's like a little layout program they stuck right there in there for us. Well, Rob, thank you so much, and Kathy, and we're going to put links to both of your sites in the show notes and put a little information about each of you, and congratulations, both of you, to your award-winning shots.
Thank you so much, Derek. It's been wonderful talking with you today.
Yeah, thank you very much. The whole experience has been really revolutionary to the way I shoot photography, and you know, meeting all these great people here at the show and through this workshop is a real blast for me.
Two famous photographers in the works right here. Okay, bye-bye now.
The Inside Aperture podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aperture, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time.